Joining me from the National Park Service, from the Department of the Interior, Daniel Martinez, the Chief Historian at Pearl Harbor. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Good morning. Kind of a wafty title, huh?
But well-deserved, I'm sure.
Oh, I've been honored to do that and since 1989.
Uh-huh. And with your work with the Park Service, you've been at Pearl Harbor that entire time?
I started off in 1979 when I was undergrad working at Little Bighorn Battlefield, and it was just a dream. And, you know, I worked delivering history of the last years of my life, so I had a horse and 7th Cavalry gear, and I was living the dream and still am.
Excellent, excellent. And we're just going to take a little break here. The noise that you just heard, if you're listening, if you are here, you saw it, it's an Alaska Airlines brand new Boeing 737-900ER, and they are introducing it here at Air Venture. The new jet features a Boeing logo, 100 years strong, of course. They're centennial this year, and that's on both sides of the fuselage. And it's dubbed the Celebration of Boeing. It's the 153rd Boeing 737 in Alaska's proud all Boeing fleet, and commemorates the rich five-decade partnership between the airline and Boeing aircraft. This aircraft is also being flown by an all-female crew. 110 female aviation leaders are also on board from Alaska, Boeing, and Virgin America, as well as some young people from aviation-related organizations. So as the 737-900ER taxis by, give them a big wave and a big Air Venture welcome. Glad to have them here, Alaska Airlines and Boeing. Now, back to Pearl Harbor. 75 years ago, it was a different place than it is today.
Yes, it was.
Describe what Pearl Harbor was like on December 6th.
Well, on December 6th, it was Saturday. The Pacific Fleet had come in on the 5th. It's on Friday. And the USS Arizona tied up for her last time at 10 a.m. that morning. What people don't understand, I think, and we'll clarify that tonight because we have a film at the Theater in the Woods, is that it was really never Pearl Harbor. It was the attack on Oahu,
right.
And Pearl Harbor was one of the targets. So the airfields at Hickam and Wheeler and Eva and the naval air stations at Kaneohe Bay and Pearl Harbor all came under attack almost simultaneously, and within about 15 minutes, air power ceased to exist in Hawaii. So the planes you see lined up on this runway were lined up very similar at Wheeler Field and Hickam. And about 11 minutes later, they hit the fleet at Pearl Harbor, and the torpedo planes were down to an altitude of 30 feet, hitting both sides of Fort Island, but in particular Battleship Row, which was 7 warships tied up along the east side of Fort Island. And it was incredible. My grandfather was in the shipyard and watched it in absolute disbelief. First, they thought it was the Army, and then explosions, water geysers reaching up 600 to 800 feet. He knew that it was no drill.
Had to be a very emotional time.
A heartbreaking time. We're going to lose 2,390 people. 49 of them are civilians from Hawaii, many of them killed by friendly fire. 3 firefighters who died answering the call like they did in 9/11. They came out to Hickam Field. And Chief Macy in Korea, they were in their 50s getting ready to retire. And the first Chinese-American killed in World War II was Harry Pang, a hoseman. And he was killed almost the same moment in a strafing and bomb blast right near the hangar. So there's some of the heroes that are sometimes not remembered, but there are so many that withstood that first brace of attack from Japan.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because when we think of the attack, we so often think of the servicemen who lost their lives, but there were civilians who were also involved, and as you mentioned, kind of an unremembered sometimes.
Yeah, we paused to remember them during the 50th, which was in 1991. We'll do it again. We have a day in which we invite the families of these civilian casualties down. The Honolulu Fire Department will be honoring them, and then we're going to have anywhere from 300 to 400 Pearl Harbor survivors returning with their families. It will probably be the last significant, you know, visit of those veterans. In 1991, we had 6,000 veterans and their families. So the attrition of time has taken its toll, and this World War II generation is passing right before us. And this morning, I got a hop on a thing called a P-51, and out there greeting us was Bud Anderson.
Oh, my goodness. You've had an adventurous morning already.
I'm ready. Go home now.
As you mentioned, as we were talking before we got on the air,
right.
there's actually the Arizona Memorial,
right.
But there are several other memorials, museums that are all in a partnership
with the
National Park Service.
It's under the banner of Pacific Historic Park. So when we rebuilt the visitor center in 2005 to 2010, when it opened up, we had a central area for security for everybody to come through, just like you have here. And then you can go visit the USS Bofin, which is a fleet submarine did 9 war patrols. It's actually called the Pearl Harbor Avenger because it was launched on December 7th, 1942. And from there, you can get tickets, buy tickets to our nonprofit partners like the Bofin, to the Pacific Aviation Museum, and then on to the USS Missouri Memorial. So you have those four things to do, and our visit consists of the movie and then boat to the memorial, about 1 hour and 15 minutes, and then we have a state-of-the-art museum, and one of the films that we show at the museum will be showed tonight for the first time at this great event called Oshkosh.
Excellent. Partnership that you've got working.
Right.
You're all working together, of course, for the 75th anniversary.
Yes,
what are some of the highlights that will take place?
Well, believe it or not, you can go to our website, which is pearlharbor75thanniversary.com. If you forget all of that, just pearlharborevents.com. Google that, and you'll get in there. Right now, over 9 days, we have 50 events.
Wow.
And so some of these are private, some of these are public, but they can go there and see that. We have an interment that is a private thing, but it'll be streamed. We have 2 Arizona survivors going back to their ship. This will make, the 38th. And so I'm the interment officer, and so now I have to plan how we do, for the first time, a double interment. And this only happens here in Hawaii. It's at this particular place. It's unique to the United States. That happens around the world, but here, these survivors are still going back. There are exactly 6 survivors left of the USS Arizona crew. But one thing I can mention is those events that are taking place, they take place from December 2nd through December 11th. And right now, you can get all that information right down at our booth, which is 445. We're right down by Hamilton Watches. And you can get brochures. There's all kinds of things we're giving out, but we have a simulator down there that's from Red Wing, and this thing is George Welch's P-40 plane, and you can fly the mission.
Oh,
and
my.
So I flew over my house because I went over the ground, and it's great. And so we have all the folks down there from the Pacific Aviation Museum, myself, and we're there to help you and answer any questions you have. We got lots of handouts, and we want you to come down and visit us.
All right, and that is booth 445.
445, right close to the tower, the control tower. And right behind Hamilton Watches, right there, where they have the aircraft. So it's great. So.
Good. You mentioned the internment, and obviously the Arizona Memorial itself is sacred ground.
It is. The Hall of Battleship Row is sacred ground. And funny you should mention that, just to digress for a moment. We are preserving right now. We've got a consortium going to preserve Battleship Row, which is the mooring quays you see there, and that's what the battleships were tied up to. And we've now just done a 3D scan for the first time, an incredible scan of the entire ship that will be unveiled during that week through the companies that were involved. It is, you have never seen anything like that, and they reproduced a model, literally etched it from the 3D drawing that's nearly 4 feet long. It's incredible. So we now know what the ship absolutely looks like in terrific scale.
Incredible. Obviously, it's a very emotional place to be, and I can't even imagine what you go through when dealing with the veterans and families of survivors or families who had lost family members.
It's emotional. One of the things is we get to know the Pearl Harbor survivors over the years, and we go to a lot of funerals to say goodbye.
Indeed. How many visitors go to the
We have 1.6 million visitors on the tour itself, near over 2 million that come through the gates on their way to the other Pacific Historic sites. So if there was any danger of any people thinking that this generation, the generations to come, will forget that, not what we've seen. So we have a lot of young people that come here to discover their history, and that's part of what we do with the National Park Service, is provide the information at our historic sites to make sure they have an appreciation for their past and preserve those things in the future. So being here at Oshkosh, I see the preservation that's going around here. I think that that ethic is being well practiced among those that preserve the warbirds and classic aircraft.
Well, thank you for that, and we appreciate what you do. Speaking of preservation, are there any ongoing preservation things with the Arizona itself?
Yes, when I was a diver on the ship, we would go down and tag artifacts that were there. We even found fire hoses on the deck and things like that. And so we're preserving that. No one is allowed to dive on that ship because, one, it's inside the federal authority of the United States Navy, and the second is to go on the ship has to have permission from the National Park Service. But as stewards of that ship and stewards of the USS Utah as well, the other ship that's still there, we have this incredible artifacts and history right in there. So we're documenting that all the time. We're looking at the marine life. We're looking at the deterioration of the vessel. It is guessed at this time, not guessed, but estimated through experts, that the Arizona will last up to 800 years.
Wow.
Because she rests in 40 feet of water and 23 feet of mud. But that mud acts as a protectant. And believe it or not, the biogrowth on the vessel expels oxygen away from the metal. So even nature is helping out. Now, we're in like a lake, so we don't have the extremes of current or storms that will start to harm the ship. So we have oil still leaking from her. She's been leaking since December 7th. And so those of us that work there, every day is December 7th.
Wow. Daniel Martinez, Chief Historian with the National Park Service, and helping for the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. It will be an emotional day. As you said, every day is December 7th for you, but
we look forward
to that as well, and thank you for all you're doing to preserve this very critical piece of U.S. history.
Well, I'd just like to thank Skip Lehman for bringing me here and being part of this.
All right. Booth 445, if you'd like more information about the 75th anniversary, and if you'd like to be there, now's the time to make your travel arrangements to make sure you're there in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, the attack on Oahu, to be technically correct.
Well, thanks, Steve.
Thank you. And this is EAA Radio.